You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Connor Coulson. This is Minute 41. This minute opens with Charlie observing the green stone, and ends with a storm coming. Shout out to Michael Giamarino for his observation. Can't believe I made no mention of this, but, as he rightly points out, the hollow projections of the engineers are not just lights. They seem to generate, or are propelled by, a fairly strong wind. I think that makes a kind of sense. There's a logic there. Projections need something to project onto. The most common solution in real life, as I think we've discussed in early episodes, is a screen or a smoke machine or something to that effect. But rather than flood the whole place with fog, the engineers seem to propel whatever substance they are projecting onto with air, or at least that's how I imagined that would work. So, the mysterious green stone, what do we know? There doesn't seem to be any official comment on this prop, not in interviews, commentaries, featurettes, or any other supplementary material. Nothing. However, we can confirm that it was a last-minute change, the evidence being the trailers. They all depict not a stone, but a sacrificial bowl, not unlike the one used by the engineers at the beginning of the film. It may even be the exact same one. Within the narrative, it's very difficult to guess at the purposes of such an object. This applies to much of the engineer's creations, really. The headroom is a prime example. Is it a place of worship, storage, an energy source? Who can say? But I think that is one of the most fascinating things about the engineers, is that their culture blurs a line between organic and mechanical, religious and practical, familiar and unfamiliar. As for the behind-the-scenes reasoning, Ridley does tend to improvise and experiment on the fly, so maybe he filmed both the bowl and the stone on the same day? These are custom-made props, though. The props department would have needed a bit of a heads-up, unless they just happened to have a green stone lying around. And if it was a reshoot, generally reshoots are only done when there's a very good reason for it. Either way, we can say that this wasn't a change made on a whim. There was some reasoning behind it. As to what that is, we may never know. The significance of the bowl is clear. It warrants no further investigation, but the green crystal is such a distinct choice. It is one of the few examples of the use of green in this movie, and the object itself does not reflect anything else in this temple or the ship. It seems so out of place that it can only have been deliberate. Many fans speculated that we would get an answer to this mystery in the sequels. Of course, there is nothing of the sort in Covenant, but perhaps this is still a plot thread intended to be resolved in the future. That's a lot of build-up for such a small detail. I can't imagine how it could ever come back in any significant way. It may always remain this small little oddity that is never referred to again, and I'd be okay with that. Sure, it's a bit weird for the sake of weird, but it does create this feeling that the engineer world is more mysterious and alien than we initially believed. Simply put, there is something fun about details like this where all we can really say is, what the hell was that? Which, fittingly enough, that's sort of what the space jockey was in the original Alien. It was just this odd detail that is never resolved in any of the other previous Alien films. Next we see David kneeling down to inspect another ampule. This is a strange detail. The lid appears to be on, and yet it is evidently open at the top as we see squirming liquid emerging from it. This squirming liquid effect was actually achieved practically. There were animatronic tubes under some kind of viscous fluid. I get why maybe having David remove the lid then and there would have drawn too much attention. Shaw already told him not to touch anything, not that that's ever stopped him. Maybe the better solution would have been to find an ampule with the lid already removed. Then again, we know that when you open it up, it isn't filled with black liquid only. There's a glass-like caddy sitting in there. Now you might be wondering, is this particular ampule simply leaking, or is the black goo sitting on the top? It doesn't look like that either, it's quite deep. Yet another inexplicable detail in this minute. It is in this scene that my theme song shows up for the first time. I chose it because it's fairly subtle, and hopefully not too annoying if you marathon the podcast.
Oh no. Charlie, the murals are changing. I think we've affected the atmosphere in the room.
It's hard to see what's going on here exactly. Are they eroding, or are they shifting to show us something different? Either way, had they kept their helmets on, they might have avoided affecting the environment. I mean, maybe this is simply due to the door being open for the first time in who knows how long, and the changes in air pressure are responsible, but it could also be the carbon dioxide from their lungs. Even Shaw says, "I think we've affected the atmosphere in the room." This is it. This is why audiences were so fixated on the helmets. It's because this movie repeatedly draws attention to all the reasons they should have kept them on. Removing the helmets isn't a problem in and of itself. I'm realizing now it's mostly down to how this choice was framed, as we've discussed in previous minutes. I mean, archaeologists on Earth have to be super careful with ancient relics. So imagine how many precautions would need to be made on an alien world. That's another thing missing in this scene that irritates a lot of viewers. The scientists don't seem careful at all, and it's that carelessness that gets them into trouble. That's a cheap writing trick. Why couldn't they be faced with problems despite taking all precautions? Look at Milburn. He's killed by an alien despite having his helmet on, so it's definitely doable. I looked carefully for any reference to the Green Stone in either of the scripts, and it doesn't look like there is any mention of it anywhere. There isn't even concept art or pre-production photos of it. Curiouser and curiouser. It's a long shot, but if anyone out there has any additional information on the Green Stone, that would be great. Let's unravel this mystery together. Here is the relevant scene on pages 35 to 37 of the Paradise script by Lindelof. Mostly I'm reading it because it references the mural, or as it insists here, fresco. Interior, pyramid, the engineer's vault, day. The entire room is scaled for beings twice our size. It makes our heroes look like children. That might be a little reference to how there were literal children playing the main characters in Alien in the space jockey room. Cathedral ceilings 50 feet above. The lights of our team shining upwards. Shaw overwhelmed. The rush of air creates a sound of wind all around them as David says, "Doctors." He points upwards, his light illuminating. It's a painting. Sure enough, artwork covers the ceiling, decayed by age and covered in dust, but clear representations of engineers. Imagery that is somehow mythic, beautiful and strange. Shaw takes it all in, almost reverent. She says, "It's not a painting, it's a fresco." David, "I'm sorry, what's the difference?" Shaw, "Frescoes are in houses of worship, and we can't help but agree with her. This does feel somehow holy, like an alien Sistine Chapel. Its very design immediately conjures a feeling of being inside a chapel." Holloway is much less interested in the decoration, though. He walks through the space, which can't help but evoke the feeling of a laboratory. Technology and equipment we have never seen before. And we're back with Shaw, her brow furrowing as she sees the fresco starting to disappear before our eyes, like the portrait of Dorian Gray. Exposure to the environment is literally dissolving it. That's not actually what happened in Dorian Gray, but okay. Shaw snaps out of her wonder, shouts over the rushing air, "Holloway, the head, help me bag it." Shaw already pulling a sterile zip bag from her kit as she kneels beside a giant head, clearly guillotined off when the door closed around it, now free that it's open. Holloway gets his arms around the head, it's massive, picks it up. The face anything but human, a strange proboscis. But we only get a glimpse as Shaw pulls the bag over it, seals it tight, while across the room, David, calm despite the circumstances, and riveted by a wall of ampules. Bottles, hundreds, rows and rows of them. David's eyes gleam as he studies one. He extends his finger, gently touches the glass. But it's not glass. Each top is sealed with wax, and every bottle has a small label. Indecipherable writing. Holloway, "They're breaking down, we need to freeze them." David turns, sees why Holloway is shouting at him. Heads of moisture forming on the outside of the bottles. Jesus, the ampules are sweating. Calm down, Lindelof. David acts fast, pulls out a gizmo that looks like a fire extinguisher, sprays a row of ampules just as dozens more pop open, shattering, falling off the shelving unit. Liquid splashes onto the floor, pools together forming a thick, black muck as we see several small centipedes that came in from the outside, skittering away as the liquid washes over them. No reference to any green stone. And the alien engineer script, by Spates, doesn't really have much to say. On page 41, we have this excerpt. But David looks away across the cavernous chamber, fixated on the clear crystal. We never revisit this crystal, and it's not green, and there was no head statue or ampule room in this early script, so we've ultimately learned nothing. I have failed you. We don't have any additional information other than confirming the fact that we do not have any solid information about the green stone. But what I have come to realize, just accidentally or tangentially, is that scripts really do follow a very particular structure. And in both of these scripts, you know, we're roughly at around page 40 and the same acts are proceeding within the same time frame. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.